On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I react to a big week in Gamecock football as we have a night spring game and two additions to our coaching staff. I go over the women's upcoming games and give my crow to the game, and then I react to yet another frustrating and tough loss for the men's basketball team. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 42 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And how are we doing, Gamecock family? It was another busy week, sort of out of nowhere. A lot of action, men's basketball, women's basketball, football. We are all pumped to head into the weekend. And speaking of the weekend, I do have a quick update for y'all. There will be no show on Monday. I know, we're all disappointed. We're all heartbroken. I'm sorry to my loyal listeners. I promise I will make it up for you one day soon, but no show on Monday. I'm going to need prayers, support, reminders to drink some water as I am going to a bachelor party in New Orleans on Super Bowl weekend. So keep me in your thoughts and prayers. Remind me to drink water. Shoot me DMs. Shout out Mike Yuva, mixing a water. Mike, if you listen to the show, that'd be pretty epic. Episode 42, already got Yuva. Gamecock media legend. Anyway, so before we jump into things, as I said, we're going to review the busy week that was this past week. We have to do our handy-dandy Gamecock fact, and this is a fun one. Josh Awantude, I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name, Josh. Josh Awantude had quite a 2018 indoor track and field season. The throwing competitor won the SEC Indoor Championship, set the South Carolina school record, and finished third in the NCAA championships in shot put. Shout out Josh A. That's a pretty hell of a good season in 2018, representing the school, showing out for the conference, showing out on the national stage. That's what we absolutely love to see for our Gamecock family across sports. And like I said before, our track and field program, pretty darn good, really, when you look at it. We produce talent that goes to the Olympics and goes pro in that sport. Very cool to see. And that facility, when you see pictures of it, is actually pretty cool looking. I've never been there myself, but it looks pretty cool. But all right, so the week in review, it was really highlighted here. This is football. We're doing a football segment. It's February, Super Bowl week. It's only fitting. First and foremost, huge announcement broke that the spring game run, April 16th, is at 7 p.m. Shane Beamer hinted at it, and he delivered, bringing a night spring game to Columbia, part of what they are dubbing as Big Gamecock Weekend. It is going to be an amazing day there in Columbia, amazing weekend in general. And just to really take a step back and talk about how great that's going to be, I believe it's at 1 p.m. The baseball team is at home playing in Founders Park. Then there's going to be a block party in and around Founders Park, if I'm not mistaken. Then, before the game, at around 5 or so, Patrick Davis is going to be putting on a concert in Gamecock Park area right outside Willie B. You can imagine there's going to be vendors. They're probably going to limit the car access there. You can just come and go as you can please. Going to be a lot of fun there. Then, obviously, we have the Garnet and Black game at 7 p.m. See Spencer Rattler, a lot of the other guys who have transferred here, and, of course, newcomers from freshmen and the guys we want to see come back, like Jaheim Bell. And then after the game is a fireworks show. So you're incentivizing people to hang around Columbia, go to both sports all day, and you're incentivizing people to go to the game, which is always fun, the spring game, but to stay to the end. And that is so much fun, and I hope that this can be a tradition. We might not always get the night game, but to have this idea of a big Gamecock weekend centered around the spring game, I think is a lot of fun, because you can target alumni with that, old players with that, just say, hey, come for the weekend of the spring game. The baseball team's in town. We'll go to the game and do this and that. really, really cool to see. And what a way to just continue this amazing offseason momentum that our football program has by delivering yet another first for Carolina football. At least I think it's the first night game. I don't know. It's the first since I've been following the team, which is, you know, a good chunk, and very, very cool to see. And then we have a couple of welcome homes. This is on the coaching side here. We're going to start with the position coach here. Jody Wright was hired as our tight end coach, obviously replacing Eric Kimry, who left to go back to high school. Now, Jody Wright, it's funny. I'm big on Gamecock Twitter. I live on Gamecock Twitter a good bit. And all of a sudden, as this coaching search was heating up, people had their favorites. They wanted some people here, this guy there. And when Jody Wright was hired, you had a lot of people on Gamecock Twitter saying, who? Like, what? Why didn't you get this guy? Why don't you get that guy? This guy has proven experience. And people were genuinely upset about the hire of a tight ends coach. And yes, you obviously want to have the best of the best at every position. And I'm not going to poo-poo anybody on a staff, right? But it was very remarkable to see the people who were up in arms about a tight end coach, as if you had known who these candidates were before a week ago. Like, really. But to give you the skinny on Jody Wright, the guy, in my opinion, is a good hire, right? Were there other candidates who I thought were very qualified and would have been great additions? Absolutely. But what Jody Wright brings is well-rounded experience. He spent a lot of time in college at UAB, at Jacksonville State, also Gamecocks. But then his last stop in college was at Alabama, where he was the director of player personnel, essentially running recruiting. He did that for a couple of years, including one of their national title teams. The guy knows how to recruit. The guy knows how to help develop talent. And the guy knows how to manage a roster, which Shane Beamer has said time and again that they are going to recruit, recruit, recruit. He is very open to using the transfer portal, obviously, but has said time and again that he wants to have a very good pipeline going to South Carolina and developing that talent and continue to rely on in-state talent and developing the people we have coming out of high school. Now, before coming to South Carolina, he actually spent time in the NFL. He's most recently with the Giants, also the Browns, I believe. So it is interesting that our last two hires had NFL pedigree. I think with Jody Wright, he just happened to be in the NFL. He's a college lifer, really, when you look at it. But it does bring that certain little bit of a different perspective. And I like that about Shane Beamer. He doesn't want to bring in guys who think all like him. Some coaches do that, and they do it to their detriment. Shane Beamer has guys who were college lifers. He has guys who really cut their teeth at the high school level. And he has a couple guys with NFL experience now. So you're getting well-rounded perspectives in coaching. But what I think Jody Wright is going to do, aside from coaching the tight ends, he has a lot of experience. He's coached multiple positions on the offensive side of the ball. I think even for a brief moment in time, he was on the defensive side of the ball at the NFL. But he's going to obviously help develop that. I think from a developmental point of view, you're going a step up from Eric Kimry. But where you're going 3, 4, 5 steps up from Eric Kimry is the recruiting. Yes, he might not have immediate ties to the region, but he obviously knows the South and knows how to recruit this area because he did so at Alabama. And when you are the director of player personnel, you're not just focused on one group. You're focused on the whole roster. You know how to eye guys for 2 or 3 years out, wherever position. Find guys who can fit elsewhere. So I think from that point of view, he's going to be very, very valuable for the Gamecocks. Because look, we have a lot of momentum right now. But there's not always going to be a Spencer Rattler in the transfer portal. Or we might not always get as lucky in the transfer portal. And we are recruiting against big-time programs, regardless of how they're doing, being in the SEC. But in our backyard, we have UGA, we have the team from the upstate, we have UNC who's been doing well, and Tennessee always seems to recruit well. So you have to have as much knowledge and experience on that side as you can, and I think he's going to bring that. And then on top of that, I think he's going to be a fine tight ends coach. So overall, stamp of approval for Jody Wright. Welcome home. And then the other news is a welcome back home to Devontae Holloman. Obviously, he was the linebacker, former linebacker for South Carolina during that great run under Steve Spurrier, had a little bit of time in the NFL, most recently coaching high school in Carolina, but has left to join our staff as a support staff. His role really hasn't been established. Quick side note, I actually dapped up Devontae Holloman. You know, after the games, you kind of run down to the hedges and you high-five all the players. I specifically remember Devontae Holloman dapping me up. So we're good friends. We go way back, obviously. So I'm really excited to see him back home. But I think he would be great either as an analyst, helping break down film. But I think he's someone who could step into that role that Connor Shaw had. I mean, he got hurt in the NFL, cut his career short, really had to learn quickly what is life after football, which is what Shaw was preaching. And, I mean, he was part of that run. He's a known name. I think he's a likable guy. Talk about alumni relations. Could be a really nice fit there. So some really exciting news on the coaching front now. And now we're done with it, right? We haven't seen any other departures. There's no one else to hire. We're all set. We're going for the spring game. Everything seems good. Also, the winter workout videos and pictures they're posting, our guys are hungry. Our guys are getting after it. I mean, we have an awesome media team, but those videos, those winter workout videos specifically, always hype me up to no end. So excited to see them get after it this season. Now, moving away from football to women's basketball real quick, we are now in sole possession of first place in the SEC. Tennessee dropped a game, so we are on top where we belong. Big shout out. Also, quick side note, it was announced that a special edition of College Game Day, the basketball edition, is coming to Columbia for the Tennessee game. I think it was November 20th. So that's awesome. Going to have College Game Day back on campus and a basketball version. I think that's got to be a first, right? Unless I'm forgetting when they came for another women's game, but going to be exciting. That's so cool. But yeah, now in sole possession of first place. The next game the women are playing is tonight against Kentucky. I'm sorry again, ladies. I just happen to record when you play your games. It stinks, but I expect a curb stomping. I said the same thing the last time I recorded when y'all played, and I'm going to say it again. I think you're going to curb stop Kentucky. I expect nothing less. But then the women's next game is Sunday at noon in Athens against Georgia. Now, that's a kind of a nice day. You get to watch women play UGA, a rival, Super Bowl Sunday, hang out, and then ease your way into all of the wings and the guac and the salsa and the hot dogs, the mini hot dogs that you're going to eat during the Super Bowl. So it's a little appetizer for you. Now, what are we looking at in Georgia? They are 17-5 overall, 6-4 in conference. I don't know much about them. I see 6-4 in conference, already 5 losses overall. My crow to the game? Keep the machine going. We are rolling right now. First place in the SEC. Yes, we have a little ups and downs, but as of late, we are playing very well. And it's funny because I feel like earlier in the year, we were just so back-to-back-to-back with hard games. And now it's sort of like 1 week, a few days off, things like that. So hopefully we continue to stay well-rested and get after it there. Now, going away from the good side of Carolina basketball and going to the objectively bad, men's basketball. Tuesday night, lost to Kentucky, 86-78. Now, I'm going to start with the player highlights and then get into my thoughts here. Keyshawn Bryant, great game from Keyshawn. 18 points, 14 boards. Wildens Levesque out of nowhere with 16 points. And Jermaine Cousinard with a great game, 17 points. You know, looking at this, I wrote this down. I should have had that in sequential order. That would have been good. That would have been a nice journalist podcast, like 16, 17, 18. Also, if anyone has light OCD out there, that's exactly what you'd want. Anyway, I kind of have that. So anyway, what we're going to do is really try to digest this right here. So we were 86-76. We covered the spread. And if you watch that game, we were close at the half. How many times have we said that? But we were really playing well. And overall for the game, we showed fight. And I think the offensive rebounds, we really kicked their butts there. We out-rebounded them overall. We were stopping them at times, and there were moments when it felt like Kentucky was getting ready to really pull away, and we would get a couple of big buckets and a couple of stops, and it was 7 points, 8 points, 6, and we just kept hanging around, as is evident by losing by 10. But here's the thing, y'all. Like, I'm tired of that. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of these moral victories with our basketball team. I'm tired of, well, they had a great half and they showed fight and they kept it a lot closer than most people did. Or, oh man, imagine if they just did that for the whole game. Or that's exactly what you want to see from that guy, but then he doesn't do it the next game and the next game. We've said this for years. Moral victories, showed fight, kept it close, good defense. Not good defense here, 86 points, but something has to change. Something has to change. We've been saying this for years. And what has to change, and I've said it, but it was became clear to me now, it's Frank. Frank has to go. Game to game, half to half, this team is not the same. That's not on the players. At a certain point, it's the person who's motivating them or not motivating them. Frank said after the game that the players didn't bring the juice. What? It's your job to provide the juice. If your team can't get up for Kentucky at home with a chance to have a top five upset, you have to look at yourself in the mirror and say, well, clearly I don't know how to motivate these guys. And yes, Frank brought us to the Final Four. We are forever grateful. And even if you want to, you know, give him a pass for, let's just say, his first two seasons, because the team was in complete shambles, complete disarray when he took over the program. So give him a pass for 2 years. That's one tournament in 8 years. It's really 1 in 10, but give him a pass for the first two. That doesn't fly. That doesn't fly anywhere else. And yes, maybe you get a little bit of leeway after the Final Four. All those guys left. But you haven't been able to recruit well at all. Ja Morant from South Carolina, Zion Williamson from South Carolina. Where are they? You're not bringing them home. They're in your backyard. So I don't know what we need. There's always the question of, well, if we fire someone, who's going to come take the job then? I don't subscribe to that mentality. Because what you get with Frank is what we've seen. Is a team that drops inexplicable games to Coastal Carolina will get on a little nice run. We'll have a couple of nice wins in the SEC, but ultimately will peter out. The SEC is thriving right now in basketball. Arkansas, with Musselman, they were having a slow start to the year. They just upset number one team in the country in Auburn. Why can't that be us? I don't care if you get a guy who's maybe not so good at X's and O's, but can recruit and can bring energy and can relate to players better, that's fine. Find a young guy that's hungry. Maybe not even in the Power Five. Someone who's just killing it. I can't think of any of our conferences right now. I'm too flustered. Or if you can get a guy in the Power Five, maybe in the Big 12, Pac-12, and they want to come here, bring them. We have good enough facilities. We have everything behind us. It's just time. It's time. I would love it if Frank could stay and hang out around the university. I think he'd be a great ambassador. I think he'd be great at fundraising across sports. I don't think anyone would have a problem with that. But as far as trying to win basketball games, I think we've come to the end of the road. And I think it's pretty evident. So finish out the season. Wherever you end up, you end up. But then it's time. And it stinks to say, but it's time. Now, the men's next game is Saturday at 2 p.m., also in Athens against UGA. UGA, talk about miserable. I mean, if there's an equivalent podcast over there, that's probably really bad. UGA, they're 6-18 overall, 1-10 in conference. That's just bad, man. My quote of the game, though, is just show some pride. I mean, you have an opportunity here to get a W, but if you sleepwalk, it's not going to happen. You're away. It's a Saturday afternoon. The crowd could be decent. I don't really know, but could be. Show some pride. Get a W. Get off the schneid. Feel something good. And then see what you can do to end this season. Try to show pride the rest of the way. I don't know. Tough one. But with this one, y'all, I mean, that wraps up this episode. Again, there is no show on Monday. Send me reminders to drink some water. But please go follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and leave reviews for the podcast wherever you listen to. I appreciate y'all. Go Cox.